First, a bill in the state legislature would overhaul alcohol regulation here in Wisconsin, with wide-ranging impacts across different parts of the industry. The legislation is scheduled for a full vote in the state assembly tomorrow. It's received support from many alcohol beverage producers, distributors, and retailers, and from some brewers and winemakers. But wedding barn owners are expressing concerns over portions of the bill. They say the law would create unnecessary regulations for their operations that could put some of them out of business. Among other things, the law would require operators of wedding barns to get a Class B liquor license if they host more than six events in a year. The wedding barn parts of the law are largely separate from the rest of the legislation. Business owners say they're seeking some kind of compromise with lawmakers that wouldn't have to impact the rest of that bill. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of new regulations on these wedding barns? Do you have some of them in your own community? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ben Ament is co-owner of two Wisconsin event venues, the Brindlewood Barn in Hilbert and West Edison Rivery in Appleton. Ben, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thank you so much for having me today.
You testified last week during the public hearing for the bill at the state capitol. Could you give us a brief overview of how this law could affect what we're calling wedding barns, these event venues, and why you're worried about them?
Certainly, yeah. Thanks again. So, you know, overall, 80% of this bill is great for many of our winery and brewing friends throughout the state. However, there's a few provisions that target event venues such as us that do not have a liquor license, similar to our wedding barn, but also non-barn venues. I think there's just a lack of understanding on exactly how private event venues are operated. And that's kind of what I'm here to talk about today.
Yeah. Can you explain how things work now? If a wedding barn or other non-barn event venue hosts an event and the people who are scheduling that event want to have alcohol on the premises, what are we doing right now?
Yeah, you bet. So our venue is not a public place currently. It is private, invite-only events that take place on private property. We do not have a liquor license, nor do we want one. The alcohol is purchased by the renter or the wedding couple from a licensed retailer and is served responsibly by bartenders at no charge to guests. The only thing that would change with this bill is that they would be, you know, purchasing the alcohol from us instead of the licensed retailer if it comes to us having to get a liquor license.
And who supplies that bartender in the current state of affairs?
So for us, individually, we have a really good relationship with Valley Liquor out of Little Chute. So we kind of say, you know, we recommend that all couples that rent our unique event venue work with them to purchase everything, so we don't have any part in the sale, nor do we profit from it. But we know that Valley Liquor does a very good job. They are a beverage caterer in addition to their liquor store, so they come on site with all of the beverages that the couple purchased ahead of time, and then they provide bartenders to serve it, and they're definitely responsible in doing so, just like as if we were at a bar.
We're talking about possible changes in regulation of event venues in Wisconsin, including the wedding barns you may hear a lot about. Ben Ament is with us. He's co-owner of two of the event venues that could be affected by the law, the Brindlewood Barn in Hilbert, West Edison Rivery in Appleton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about these changes you're hearing about? Do they affect you? Have you had an event at one of these venues? What do you think of the way alcohol was handled, if there was alcohol involved? Join in at 800-642-1234. After the public hearing, State Representative Michael Schraw of Oshkosh really dismissed a lot of the concerns raised by you and other wedding barn owners. Here's some of his response.
For people to come and testify saying that they weren't invited to the table, that is just false. They had input. They had plenty of time to have input. Statements were made that this was, you know, going to put them out of business, that this was going to be a death blow to the industry. Farthest thing from the truth. A lot of us are business owners, and sometimes you have to change your business model to adapt to the times, and that's what's happening here.
So parts of the industry, he says, had opportunity for comment, and we'll have to adjust things, but this won't be that dramatic. What do you say, Ben?
You know, my response to that is the unfortunate truth is that event venues were not brought to the table like many others while this bill was being written, at least none that I'm aware of after talking with some of the other event venue owners in my area and now around the state. We would like to be a part of the conversation so it can be fair to all. We're open to regulation, but a liquor license is just not the answer. You know, another thing to note is that our business model is working great. There are no documented issues within the state in relation to private event venues. That being said, though, you know, I'm not closed-minded, and as a high-standard business operator, I'm open to regulations that will make our business safer and better. But like I said, a liquor license, we just don't feel is the answer.
And we also talked to Scott Stenger from the Tavern League of Wisconsin last week. A caller raised the Wedding Barn issue, concerned, sharing some of your concerns about the impact of this bill. Here's some of what Scott had to say.
I heard the testimony yesterday from some Wedding Barn owners, and they say, oh, we do this, 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 everything that we're doing. So what is the problem? You're telling us you're doing all the things that licensure requires. The public expects that you should have some minimum standards at your business. These are businesses, and it is the Wild West. They have no closing hours. They can have smoking. They have no licensed bartenders, nobody checking IDs. They need to be regulated.
So the Wild West, Ben. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, you know, to be clear, it is definitely not the Wild West, and it's unfortunate that this is what the Tavern League speculation is. We've had to go through the motions with our town and county to obtain a conditional use permit that authorizes us to operate an event venue with rules such as operating hours, noise ordinances, sanitary and safety codes. We also had to be granted occupancy by the fire chief and have regular fire inspections. On top of this, we hold business liability insurance like any other business. We take great pride in our establishments. You know, and for most of these venues, you know, it's our home or our family farm, and we have a lot at stake. So we run a tight ship to make sure guests are safe and make it home safe by utilizing transportation, leaving cars overnight. It's definitely not a free-for-all by any means. We're present with staff and monitoring every event to make sure it is the best experience possible. I'm not sure why the Tavern League feels they need to weigh in on how our legally operating business with high standards is ran. The provision within the bill only hurts those that are operating a successful, legal, and tax-paying family business. Many of us keeping family farms alive, forcing us to become taverns is just not the answer. Licensed bartenders and checking IDs should already be the standard and could be the compromise here to ensure responsible serving across the board. But if we are forced to obtain a liquor license, this could impact a lot of our conditional use permits as well.
Let's bring in a caller. Dave is with us in Rothschild. Dave, hi.
Hello. Yes, I'm Dave. I just have an observation to make. Recently, driving in the country out by Loyal and Withy, my buddy and I saw on the hill a brand new barn that was humongous. You could see it for 3 miles. Brand new. And then a friend of said rustic occasions, and I went to the Facebook page, and it's being held out there as a wedding reception barn. But they didn't have any photos of the building. But the building, I can tell you, is gigantic. So they have big money on the line there. That's a huge venue, and they're making money. So I think they ought to have a liquor license. But if anyone doubts me, drive out to Loyal and find rustic occasions.
Dave, thanks for the call. Ben, Dave saying these are big places. They're making money. They're hosting a lot of people. Why not a liquor license?
You know, for us, we specialize in providing a unique venue space for people to host their event. We're not in the tavern business. If I wanted to be in the tavern business, I would have opened a tavern. We do not deal with the alcohol, nor do we want to, as I mentioned earlier. You know, alcohol is only one piece of most weddings and other events. So then the question arises, okay, do they want us to also sell the food, baked goods, floral and decor, take the photos, provide the DJ service, provide the transportation? You know, where would it end? The crazy thing is that there are a lot of locations exempt from this bill, such as vacation rental properties, yards and driveways for you know, sport tailgating events, campgrounds, and state fair and county parks. I mean, if you want to talk about the Wild West, if a well-ran permitted establishment like ours or the one that Dave mentioned are squeezed out, we'll definitely see the Wild West as people will become limited on unique event venues that are ran well and resort to cleaning out a family member's barn or utilizing a county park where it will be a total free-for-all at that point because they don't, you know, they're seeking these different unique event venues. If there are a few bad apples out there currently, I'd say shut them down at their local level. Do not throw out the whole basket of us that are doing everything we can to be a well-ran business in the community. That's kind of where I stand on it.
Before I let you go, Ben, you know, there might be people out there listening who, you know, work at a tavern with an event space or a restaurant with booze at an event space or a hotel, or the list goes on, saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got to have a liquor license. You're our competitor and you don't, that's giving you an unfair advantage. What would you say to them?
You know, I don't think that's our space. I don't believe we're directly competing against them. You know, the couple has a unique event space that they want to have their wedding at. Like I said, they're not doing it in a traditional banquet hall anymore. A lot of these places are looking for a different unique option. Not everybody by any means, but some are. And you know, we specialize in the unique space itself. And I don't feel like we're taking anything away from those other people. The alcohol is still being purchased from a licensed retailer. They're coming in and serving it in a responsible way. I don't feel like it's competition. I mean, that would be no different than if the food caterer was also saying, hey, you guys are, we're not competition with them either. I mean, all of these pieces are brought in and a part of the wedding. I don't see it being any different than any other establishment.
Ben, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If you're listening and want to support unique event venues, businesses like ours, or know someone that's getting married at an establishment like ours, please call your local senator to voice your concern for an amendment for event venues. We're asking that all language from Assembly Bill 304 and Senate Bill 332 regarding event venues be removed via the amendment process so we can come to a better agreement.
That's Ben Ament, co-owner of two Wisconsin event venues, Brindlewood Barn in Hilbert and West Edison Rivery in Appleton. He was with us today to share his perspective on how his business and others in the state would be affected by a bill in the state legislature that would change alcohol regulations in Wisconsin. Next up, we'll take a look at a different part of the bill with a leader from the state's wine industry about the impacts on growers and producers. You can join in if you're in this line of work or if you have questions about how it's regulated in the state. Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up that conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at proposed changes to alcohol regulations in the state legislature. We just heard from a wedding barn owner and event venue owner about how his business could be affected by the bill. Last week, we heard from a lobbyist for the Wisconsin Tavern League. Now let's turn our attention to Wisconsin's wineries and hear what changes could be coming for the state's dry reds and sweet whites. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are wineries a part of your local economy? Are you in the Wisconsin wine business? Give us a call. 800-642-1234. Ryan Prowitz is co-owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. He's on the board for the Wisconsin Winery Association and was the founding president of the Wisconsin Grape Growers Association. Ryan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Can you walk us through what's in this legislation when it comes to winemaking in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a bill that for all producers, not just wineries, but breweries and distilleries as well. But all of us get some pretty significant benefits from this bill in moving the producer industry forward in ways that we haven't really seen since Prohibition. And so, you know, starting with that, there's a lot of uniformity and clarity that's brought through this legislative agenda here. And it really helps to provide a framework for some of these producers moving forward in a positive manner to make bigger investments in their business and opening additional locations and doing things that seem like common sense, but just haven't been in the past. For example, with wineries, it's something as simple as right now we have to close at 9 p.m. by state law. This would allow us to stay open until 2 a.m. as well. So some simple things like that, but it goes a lot deeper than that as well.
Yeah, part of the story. Thing, Oh, go ahead. Part of the story, as I understand it, Ryan, is we have this three-tier system. You can only produce or distribute or retail alcohol, which if you're a winery or a brewery and you'd like to do a couple of both of those things, that gets in the way. How does that change for producers, these producers who want to sell their own stuff in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so with wineries specifically, right now you can get a permit from the state to produce wine, but you actually have to get a permit from your municipality in order to sell wine. And that's something that becomes an inherent ability with your state permit moving forward. So there's a winery in the northwestern part of the state that built their production facility, and then their municipality, after formally agreeing to it, now says, oh, you can't actually sell any product. We're not going to let you sell anything from your facility. And so this would take that ability away from the township to say, hey, you can't do that just because we have an opinion that you can't. And so there's some abilities that are kind of instantiated in law there that make more sense. In addition to that, we can open multiple locations. So a winery right now is currently told by Department of Revenue that you can only have one retail location. That would change, and we'd have the ability to open multiple locations selling your own product. There would also even have the ability to also sell beer and spirits just based on what your production level is. So there's a few things in here that that give us a lot more capabilities to do a better job of serving our customers, whether that means they are somebody that likes wine or a spouse that came along and wants to have a beer or a cocktail. Some of those capabilities are things that just haven't been available in the producer sector in the past. And with this, we'll be able to provide a better experience for all of our consumers.
What do you see this meaning for the wine business here in Wisconsin? How much, how many doors is this going to open?
I don't have a firm number on who is going to open additional locations, but I can say, I would say at least 5, 10, 20 wineries would say, hey, I will take advantage of that. I'm in a rural location. I would like to open a tasting room in a more urban setting and meet the customer where they're at. So I think we're going to see some pretty significant investment, and that's just on the wine side. I think we're going to see that probably just as much, if not more, on the beer and spirit side as well.
There's going to be this new division of alcoholic beverages within the state's Department of Revenue. Do you see that being a big issue for the winemaking industry? I heard from the Tavern League. They like the idea of kind of consistent rulemaking statewide. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, before we had clarity, we were more concerned about that. But what this bill provides is clarity in what you can and can't do that some areas of Chapter 125 haven't had in the past. So with that clarity, we're actually a proponent of a new division within Department of Revenue that actually takes some agents and actually creates a little bit more expertise within their area instead of having them focus on gambling and cigarettes and you know, multiple other areas. Now we're going to have people that actually spend more time specifically on alcohol in a smaller group of agents. And so we have they will have more expertise in that area, and that expertise in line with also having more clarity of the Chapter 125 and legislation that we have to follow puts us in a position where we think it's actually a positive thing to create this new division with somebody in charge of the division that has a solid idea of what they're doing and how to properly enforce alcohol law within the state.
Now, some people, Ryan, might hear about regulations on Wisconsin's winemaking industry and think, wait, Wisconsin has a winemaking industry? Can you talk about the growth of grape growing and winemaking here in Wisconsin over the last decade or so?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started growing grapes in 2007, there was about 35 wineries in the state. And that's up from about 13 wineries in 2005. When I opened my winery, Vines and Rushes, in 2012, we were at about 53 wineries. Today, we're right around 120 licensed wineries in Wisconsin. So we've seen some pretty stratospheric growth in the industry that's really kind of taken Wisconsin to a new level in terms of product being produced and consumers that are aware of that industry and really supporting it. So we're in a different position now, obviously, than we were a long time ago, 20, 25 years ago. And we've seen really significant growth over that time. And this is just the beginning. There's a lot more to come.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
That's Ryan Prawlwitz, co-owner of Vines and Rushes Winery in Ripon. He was the founding president of the Wisconsin Grape Growers Association. With us today to share how a new alcohol regulation bill in the state legislature would affect the wine industry in Wisconsin. Earlier today, we heard from a wedding barn owner about how other parts of the bill could impact event venues like his. And last week, we talked to a member of the Wisconsin Tavern League about the impact on bars around the state. You can keep sharing your thoughts, your concerns over how this might affect your community, maybe your own business. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.